I've long been fascinated by that word of worship, hallelujah. I understand it essentially means to brag or boast on God, to let him know how wondrous he is. But more than just that, to me, there's a spirit, an unction, a feeling that goes with that word. When I offer it myself or I sing it, and then as this song suggests, when I add the word my to it, it makes it all the more special. My hallelujah. My bragging, my boasting on God. I tell you what, your offering of that praise today is creating an atmosphere where God can do what's needed in our hearts and lives. In fact, that's why what was reported earlier happened at the Youth Congress, because it was a dome filled with my hallelujahs. An atmosphere was created where over 1,000 could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, where over 3,000 could have healings and miracles and answers. So guess what? There's an atmosphere here today for you to have what you need. Why don't you just reach out toward heaven right now and ask him? Ask him. For you ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. 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 And then when we join our specific hallelujahs with that of others, it does so much in the atmosphere and in our hearts and in our lives. Would you be willing to lift hands heavenward as a group and just offer praise collectively? Your hallelujah added with your brother's hallelujah, your sister's hallelujah, or whatever word of worship you offer. Would you praise him and know that the will of the Lord is being accomplished in hearts and lives today? Blessed be his name. Blessed be his name. Blessed be his name. Blessed be his name. Thank him now for what he's doing. Present tense. Thank him for what he's doing. Thank him for what he's doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I'm reading from 1 John today, the 5th chapter, and verses 6 through 8. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, and has been noted. Thanks so much for all of our guests for choosing to be here. I think we do have some visiting after the Congress, and it's just a delight to have the family of God together. John the Apostle writes here in verse 6 of John chapter 5, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one." On Thursday, June 13th, 1974, my pastor, Winfred Black, preached from this text. It was on a Thursday because in those years we had a midweek service on Tuesday and Thursday. And he preached from this text, and over 45 years later, I recall hearing it. And today would have been Pastor Black's birthday. He was born August 4th, 1924. And in his honor, I'm going to preach his message today from this particular portion of Scripture. And in doing so, I'm going to acknowledge a couple of things, but before I share those, I'm going to ask you to stretch a hand heavenward, and let's ask God to allow his Spirit and Word to join in such a way that our hearts are in touch and influenced today. Lord, I thank you for your Word. It does not return void, and I thank you for the wonderful atmosphere of worship that your Spirit has acknowledged and is filling this house. And now let your Word and Spirit join in such a way that people understand your Word and receive the full impact of it as you want it to have. I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ for your glory. And everyone said amen. 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 You may be seated. In preaching this message, I'm acknowledging a couple of things. First of all, the lasting influence of a pastor. I don't know that a great majority of you know Pastor Black. He was the leader of this congregation from 1969 through late 1978, and he died in his early 50s, a premature death, but he came to this congregation as a young boy with his parents, and then over time, the pastor, Harry Branding, considered him his son in the gospel, took him under his wing. And over the course of years, Brother Black served in a lot of capacities here at this congregation. And then in 1955, went to Kansas City, Missouri to launch a church, a church plant. And I was there 10 years doing that, and that church still exists today. It's pastored by Stan Gleason in the Kansas City area and is a thriving, growing church because of the vision of Pastor Black. But he came back here in 65, worked alongside Brother Branding, and then when Brother Branding passed away in 69, September of that year, Brother Black became pastor and served us until his untimely death in late 1978. And he was a huge influence on me. It was my teenage years in the 70s. And a huge influence. I don't really remember having much conversation with him one-on-one. I did, but nothing real formal. In fact, the formal times, I'm sad to say, were when I was in trouble here and there. And I know that's a shock to our youth, but hey, I didn't lead a perfect life. I know that's a shock, but I wasn't a perfect teenager. And but just a tremendous influence from just watching him. And for those of you that didn't meet him, I think we have a picture of him there. If you were there at Wednesday night at Youth Congress, Youth Ministries President Josh Carson talked about elders that have gone before us and used it in the context of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how that they didn't bow before the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. And President Carson said it this way, that we're here as a part of this church because of elders who did not bow. And I just want this generation to know that whether the picture of him comes up or not, that's one of the elders who did not bow. He's one of the reasons that we're here today in this local assembly, as well as the Church of Jesus Christ at large. He was an elder that did not bow. He was a very compassionate man. This is my estimation, what I observed, dynamic personality, and certainly preach some memorable messages. And from verse 8 today, I want to preach one of them. Maybe none of you remember it, but I certainly do. From verse 8, John writes, "And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." So I'm preaching today the ABCs of Pentecost. That was my pastor's title back in 1974, and that's my title today. And the other thing that I'm acknowledging in preaching this, at least one other thing, is that truth is truth. The gospel is the gospel. It doesn't matter if John is preaching it in the first century, or Brother Black is preaching it last century, or I'm preaching it this century. The ABCs of Pentecost have not changed. They are still the blood, the water, and the Spirit. They are unchanged because truth doesn't change. In July of 1961, about 38 members of the Green Bay Packers football team were gathered for the start of training camp. Their previous season had ended in a very heartbreaking defeat when they squandered a lead in the fourth quarter and lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, lost the NFL championship. And as you might imagine, those players were thinking about that in the offseason and very upset that they had let it get away from them. And now that the training camp had arrived, it was time to get back to work. And these men came in eager to advance their game to the next level, learn the nuances that would help them be able to go all the way in this coming season and win the championship. But their coach, Vince Lombardi, had a little different idea. And for those of you that don't know football, he's legendary. In fact, I'm sure everyone's at least heard of the Super Bowl that comes around once a year. The championship trophy that is awarded the winning team is named the Vince Lombardi Trophy. So that's how he's esteemed and revered in the NFL. But he had a little different idea, and in one author's description of it, Lombardi took nothing for granted, and he started a tradition there in that training camp in July of 61, assuming that these players were blank slates and knew nothing whatsoever about the game of football. And he didn't carry any other knowledge over from the previous season, and so he started with the most elemental statement of all. And first he had his assistant bring it. He really didn't do that. I made that up. But he had his assistant bring this to him, and here's how he started out training camp. "This is a football." I mean, it doesn't get more basic than that, right? Even Mary Beth knows what a football is, right? You do, right? No? Oh, you don't. You do. Okay. No more basic than that. "This is a football." Let's see if I can throw it. 60 years old, still got the arm. It was underhanded, though, wasn't it? Sorry. But here he was with a group of 36 professionals who, you know, just a few months prior had come very, very close to winning the most coveted prize championship their sport had to offer, and he's telling them this is a football. Now, I imagine the eyes were rolling, and they were looking at each other like, what's happening here? But that's how he wanted the game played, right back to the beginning, right back where it all started. So today, whether you are someone who's been journeying with Jesus a long time or a short time, it's important to remember this. This is a Bible. Roll your eyes if you want to, but this is where it all starts. This is a Bible. And it's important for us to remember this is the Word of God. It claims to be fully inspired. Now, you and I have the choice to disagree with that or not believe it, but we're faced with the fact this book claims to be the fully inspired Word of God. It claims to be complete. It claims to be infallible, and it claims to be permanent. For salvation, there is no other book that matters but this one. No other book matters when it comes to salvation because this is God's Word. And we are told don't add to it, don't take from it. It's complete as it is. We're to accept it as it is written, the forever settled Word of God. And this book tells, if you really want to know what the Bible is all about, it just tells the story of redemption. God's redemption of mankind, and particularly in the New Testament, through the blood, through the water, and through the Spirit. As we read, these three bear witness in the earth, and they agree in one. They are so fundamental to salvation, the blood, the water, and the Spirit, that they are just like the alphabet to language. They're fundamental to our salvation. So the ABCs of Pentecost, they're very plain, they're very understandable, but let's go through them. And let me say, first of all, that everybody needs the blood. Leviticus tells us it's the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Hebrews teaches that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And the implication is no remission of sin. And the way this is demonstrated or evidenced in the Old Testament is that that law given by God to Moses required animal sacrifices. Now, some of you probably wish you were living back there, some of you hunters, etc., but I'm kind of glad we're past all that. But they were required in the law to regularly offer animal sacrifices because it's the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. And particularly, every year, the appointed high priest of Israel was to go into the holy place, there in either the tabernacle or the temple, that place set apart where the Ark of the Covenant resided, and he was to offer blood to atone for the sins of Israel. That happened once a year by the high priest. But as we read in the New Testament, the law, that Mosaic law, with its sacrifices of animals, could never make those who drew near to God perfect. It was just a temporary solution that God designed and put into place for his people. Hebrews tells us it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the sins of human beings. It just can't be done. But Jesus Christ came. That birth that we celebrate once a year at Christmas, the reason he came was to be a high priest of good things to come. We're told that neither by blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place. Not literally, but that holy place in the heavens, in the presence of God, if you will. And he, by his own blood, has obtained eternal redemption for us. That's what Jesus has done for every believer. And thankfully, Hebrews goes on to say he doesn't have to do that yearly like the Israeli high priest. He had to go there every year, year after year after year. But Jesus Christ doesn't have to offer himself often as the high priest did, bringing the blood of an animal. But once in the end of the world, Jesus appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He was once offered to bear the sins of many. He went to the cross in your place so that you wouldn't have to die. Here's what John said of him. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I'm so grateful to be able to preach that some 2,000 years later, that blood is still effective. That blood still works. If you'll put your faith in it, you don't have to drag an animal to an altar today, but just believe that Jesus Christ, died on the cross for you, and that innocent blood will atone for all of your sin. I'm telling you, it works. It's effective. It will get the job done. No wonder one of the elders of the church wrote the song, "Thank God for the Blood." One of his verses says, "In sin I wandered sore and sad, with bleeding heart and aching head, till Jesus came and sweetly said, I'll take your sin away." Oh, thank God for the blood today that washes white as snow. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's just a fact. All of us have sinned. We all know what it is. But I preach this today, and please hear it, no matter the sin. And think of the worst possible right now in your mind. But no matter the sin, the blood of Jesus atones for it. The blood of Jesus covers it. And there are some horrible sins that are committed by mankind. But we've got to recognize there are no classifications of forgivable sins and unforgivable sins as far as we are concerned, except what Jesus spoke there in the Gospels. But any sin, every sin is covered by the blood, no matter how horrific in our minds, because he who knew no sin became sin for us. The Apostle Peter wrote that he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, should live for righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ will wash away our sin. He's the Lamb of God, and outside of him there is no remission. There is no deliverance. Money can't buy your salvation. We're not redeemed, the Apostle Peter wrote, with corruptible things as of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot or blemish. You can't buy your salvation. You cannot educate yourself into salvation. It takes the blood. You cannot politically maneuver yourself into redemption. It takes the blood. You can't do enough good deeds to earn or deserve God's forgiveness. It takes the blood. That's it, plain and simple. It's the ABCs of Pentecost. Oh, nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful today to know that blood, to have experienced it, and then to be able to declare it for someone here today. You want to know what can wash away your sin? You want to know what can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So hear me today. If you're tired of sin in your life, and I'm not here judging, I'm not pointing fingers, but you know your heart. If you're tired of sin, tired of the guilt and the shame and the condemnation that it brings to you, maybe in your private moments particularly, if you want freedom today from spirits and habits and things that just have you bound, I'm preaching faith in the blood of Jesus Christ will deliver you. All that guilt, all that shame, all that condemnation, it'll be gone just in a matter of moments in the presence of Jesus because of your faith in what he did on the cross. Oh, that may sound too simple, but that's exactly the way it is. You know, we in our minds, we've got to rationalize and figure out, just like me earlier with my birthday, wondering what's the catch. We got to wonder, is it just too easy? No, just a simple faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Your sins are gone. They are covered by the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood. Nothing else. And everybody needs the blood. Everybody has to put their faith in the sinless sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's part of the ABCs of Pentecost. And then everybody needs the water. Jesus, as our Redeemer, says this, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Once we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, repent of our sins, we should not delay to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't put it off because it is an expectation, a command of Scripture. And if you want to know why, it's plain and simple, for the remission of sin. You go down in water in Jesus' name because baptism washes away symbolically our sin. It buries our old way of living. That's what repentance is. You change your mind about the way you're living. And that baptism is a burial of that old way of living. Baptism cuts away our carnal nature. And hear this, you come out of the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. And who wouldn't want newness of life after sin and all that goes with it has weighted you down? We take on a new identity. Now you've got, when you come out of that water, you'll have the same eye color. You'll have the same dominant hand. unless God shows mercy and miraculously turns you into a left-hander. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? No, I'm kidding. But seriously, those kinds of things don't change, but you're changed within. You're transformed. You're made a new creation. We become members of the family of God, whose name is Jesus. Acts chapter 8 tells us a story of a Ethiopian man. He was in charge of the treasury of Candace the queen. So basically an accountant or whatever, but he was the secretary of the treasury. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, being a Jew and practice. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit had directed Philip, an evangelist, to go near him. He had come out to that area, go overtake the chariot. And when Philip did, he saw him reading. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man said, "Well, how can I unless someone guides me?" So Philip joined him in the chariot. And they began talking about the place in the scripture where he was reading there in Isaiah. It said, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth?" And this Ethiopian man wanted to know, you know, is this guy talking about himself? Or is he talking about someone else that's going to lose his life? And the Bible says that Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at that scripture, the Old Testament, and started preaching Jesus to him, explaining that that prophecy from Isaiah was talking about the coming Messiah and how that Jesus Christ had gone to a cross. He was buried, rose again, and now had ascended into heaven. And as they were hearing all this, or as Philip was preaching all this, they were meandering down the road, obviously, because they came to some water. And the Ethiopian said, well, there's water there. What would keep me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, you may be baptized. You can't. And can I say the same thing? Nothing hinders you today from being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that his sinless sacrifice will cover your sin, we've got water, we've got clothes, we've got ministers chomping at the bit, eager to baptize you in Jesus' name today. It can happen for you. Nothing hinders you if you want to experience that today in the name of Jesus Christ. When Israel got out of Egypt following their bondage, they passed through the Red Sea. For those of you that might not know that story, it parted and they crossed on dry ground. It was symbolic of New Testament baptism. And when they got to the other side, the Egyptians tried to follow, but the walls of water collapsed and drowned the Egyptians. And literally, the Israelites were seeing with their eyes, we're no longer bound by these taskmasters. We're no longer in slavery because we see them dead on the shore. And spiritually, after baptism, we're no longer enslaved by sin. We're no longer guilt-ridden because of our past or haunted by it. Our sins, as it were, are dead upon the shoreline. All the things that God has forgiven us, they are there. And I don't suggest that you dwell in the past or even dwell about your old lifestyle. Who would want to do that? But I will say this, every now and again, it's not a bad idea to go back to the water's edge and just see what you've been delivered from. See all the deliverance from drugs and alcohol and immorality and lying and stealing and cheating and all those ways of living that displease you. Every now and again, it's good to go to the shoreline and just remember where you came from. Just remember what happened to you when you repented of your sins and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God we've become a new creation. Thank God for his deliverance from all of our past. Oh, as Israel celebrated over the dead Egyptians, we can celebrate over our sins that are gone. If you've come out of the waters of baptism, you ought to just take a moment to rejoice today about what he has done. What he has done in your heart and life. Why don't you celebrate together just a moment. Just a moment to thank him. To thank him. Because everybody needs the water. Everybody needs the water. It's part of the ABCs of Pentecost. And then everybody needs the Spirit. God has promised his Spirit to everyone that's repented him and baptized in his name. In fact, God will give you his Spirit before you get a chance to be baptized. We know that biblically from Acts 10. We also know it by experience. How many, just by show of hands, you received the Holy Ghost before you were baptized? I did. I got it June 24th, but they couldn't baptize. My brother Lack couldn't get around to it till June 28th, Sunday morning. And it was very cold water, I might add. You young people have it so nice today, warm and toasty, sometimes too warm. But he baptized me after getting the Holy Ghost. So God will do that. Here's what John 7, 37 through 39 does, Jesus speaking. Says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Obviously, it was symbolically he was saying, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. So if you want to know what he was talking about, here it is. This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. You see how that's worded? It's a given. They're going to get it. If you're a believer and haven't received the Spirit, you need to. It's God's will. It's what he wants for you. They will receive it, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So when he made that claim, he was talking future tense. It hadn't yet happened. But hear this, the Holy Ghost that had not been given when Jesus spoke those words now has been given. After his ascension into heaven, about 120 believers heeded the command of Jesus, went to Jerusalem, waited for the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it happened on the Jewish feast day of Pentecost. Many of you know that story in Acts chapter 2. You can read it later. If not, it says they were all gathered in one place, one accord. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as if a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared in them cloven or divided tongues like as a fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was the initial evidence that they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They started speaking in a language that they had not learned. This was the very first outpouring of God's Spirit, the first recording of it. And when folks gathered around hearing and seeing what was happening, asked the question, what does all this mean? The Apostle Peter preached, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. This was prophesied. In the last days it comes to pass, says God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He was saying, this is that. This is what's happening. Exactly what Joel prophesied, and it is still being poured out on believers today. The promise is unto you, your children, and unto all that are afar off, as even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I might say the initial evidence is still the same. It was a thrill for me to be at Youth Congress and all around me hearing young people speaking in other tongues. If we're a little bit worried about that going away in this generation, I don't think we have to worry too much, church. It was all around that place. They were unashamedly talking in tongues. When I was a kid, it was, you know, people couldn't even pronounce Pentecost. Now it's a little more prominent. But let's never lose the fact that this is the Bible, and that is declared in the Word of God. It's the initial evidence of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you've not received that, please don't let that spook you. There's nothing spooky about it. There's nothing fearful about it. This is the joy of the Lord. This is a thrill. And it's just God's choice of an evidence when you first get the Holy Ghost. So don't fear it. I remember being in England on a mission trip. One time we contacted a young lady with a street service. And she came to the church service later that day, I think in the evening. And she was praying in the altar and had her hands lifted. And you could tell by her expression and reaction that she was just about ready to receive the Holy Ghost. But all of a sudden, this look of bewilderment and maybe a little bit of fright came on her face. And she just stopped dead cold. And I recognized what was happening. She was about to receive the Holy Ghost and became afraid of it. And so I take time to mention, if anybody hasn't received, don't fear it. It's just God's speaking through you. And what a joy it brings. Amen, church? What a thrill. What a satisfaction it brings. And it's just the evidence. We go on to live for God and walk with Him daily. But it's just the initial evidence. And everybody needs the Spirit. And everybody can have it. Thanks be to God. So the blood, the water, and the Spirit, those are the ABCs of Pentecost. My pastor preached that to me back in 1974 when I was a teenager, and I haven't forgot it, and I'm glad it has not changed. And it's still being preached, whether by me or others. And with faith in Jesus, let me just appeal to anyone who's not experienced those ABCs. With faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood, you can repent of sin, be baptized in water in His name, be filled with the Spirit, and you'll leave here a changed person. You can have that happen for you. So now that you know them, here's the question. Have you experienced the ABCs? And you're going to hear me use that word experience a lot from here on because that's what it is, an experience. It's possible to know about God but not know Him personally, right? And likewise, it's possible to know these ABCs of Pentecost but not having experienced them for yourself. Everybody needs to know these ABCs. Everybody needs to experience these ABCs, and you can do that. If you want to be baptized today, again, we've got water, we've got clothes, we've got ministers. It can happen for you. If you want to receive the Spirit, be baptized in that, it can happen for you. It's just a matter of coming to Him in repentance. David, in the Old Testament, called a man after God's own heart, but he grievously sinned, made a horrible mistake, and when he was confronted with it, this was his response in one of the Psalms. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, he prayed. And David didn't have the opportunity to experience what I've been preaching today. I promise you, if he could have received it, he would have. If he could have done what I'm preaching today, he would have done it, because that's how hungry he was to be in right relationship with his God. He had grievously sinned, but he came with contrition and sorrow, and it drove him back into what he knew to be a right relationship then. But today, the gospel is clear. If you want to come to a place of prayer, of repentance, you don't have to say those same words, but the contrition behind it is what matters. If you want to be baptized, if you want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, all of that can happen today if you'll just put your faith. Put your faith, that's where it starts, in Jesus Christ. His blood shed for you on the cross. The burial of water and the baptism of the Spirit, the ABCs of Pentecost, can be experienced by you. And really, entering the kingdom of God is just that simple. I know we struggle and wrestle with our emotions and behavior and attitudes, and there's genuine struggles that we have with habits and so forth and so on. But if you'll just yield yourself to God's power and his plan, it can change for you. And sometimes it's more of a process depending on us, but I'm telling you, he's an instant God if you'll let him be. He's an instant God if you'll let him be. He can change you just like that, and everything will be different because of your faith in Jesus Christ. So we all need the blood, we all need the water, and we all need the Spirit. And as we stand today in closing, I know you didn't come to be taught your ABCs. We learned those as kids, right? But, you know, no matter how basic or second nature the alphabet becomes, it's vital to our language. Because you take those letters and you form words and sentences, and then we use those to share information, to communicate, and on it goes. But our verbal communication is based on the alphabet. So you got to have that as your foundation. You take away the alphabet, we lose our language, right? And so, likewise, the ABCs of Pentecost, the blood, the water, the Spirit, they are fundamental to our walk with God. We take one away and we lose our means of salvation. You got to have the blood. You got to have the water. You got to have the Spirit. These three agree in one. They bear record on the earth, and everybody needs to experience the ABCs of Pentecost. So today, if there's anybody here that wants to come to an altar, a place of prayer, if you're a guest, we just have the practice of coming near the front to focus and concentrate on prayer. If you want to receive the gift of the Spirit, if you want to be baptized here in a little bit, we can make arrangements. It's all available to you. And I want to invite those of you that have already experienced these to just come and spend a little bit of time celebrating, rejoicing in what God has done. And then if you would like to receive it yourself, you can be comfortable just slipping in here. People will talk to you, answer questions, whatever you need. But it's time for us to celebrate what God is doing, and certainly to let him continue working in our midst today. Once you get up here, would you throw those hands in the air and just celebrate what he's done in your heart and in your life? Yes.
Rain down on us.
Rain down on me.
Holy Spirit, rain down on us. Holy Spirit, rain.
If you have any questions and desire for special prayer, just talk to somebody nearby.
Holy Spirit,
they'll do it.
Rain.
We want everybody to experience
rain
it.
Down on us. Holy Spirit.